Oh, God.
Don't go Savile on me, bloody hell.
How was about that then, ladies and gentlemen?
We have a letter here from a lad from Melmac. So I seem to turn mine to Robert Robinson. Ladies and gentlemen, wealthy jury. Well, there's your cold open side. Wherever you are, to Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
This is very much the Hairy Pal podcast, if you will. Not because of us, obviously, ladies and gentlemen. Although, you know, a little bit. The older I get, the more refined hairs just, you know.
Sprouting.
Around. Sprout, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Unbidden. I think Natasha Bedingfield once sang.
I think she did.
And, you know, we've all been paid the price for it. So no, the Hairy Pal question is, of course, Alf, the TV alien who was in 4 seasons of delightful NBC comedy from 1986 to 1990. And this is a British perspective on episodes of Alf, which we're doing in order. And if you're keeping track, this is episode
5, ladies and gentlemen. 5.
Like the band.
5.
All Saints. Oh. Five, yeah. We're going to be talking about Keeping the Faith. That's not got G on it. It's Keeping.
It is indeed.
Apostrophe, because it's cool, it's Alf, it's hip, it's
urban and urbane.
I mean, Alf, which is standard, isn't it, for Alf?
He's down with the kids. I've seen the covers of those German CD compilations he's on. He's hip and happening.
He does. I mean, I've not check to see if that baseball cap is fully turned round, but it's definitely an angle, a jaunty angle.
The jauntiest.
And if you do not know what we're talking about, that's fine. We'll get to it all in good time. But for now, we're just talking about episode 5, which is Keeping the Faith, which originally aired on October 20th, 1986 in America. It got 15.6 million viewers, which is about average, as we've established at this point. And
it's steadily going along. It's nice,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's not losing viewers, but it's still 23rd of the week most watched programmes. It was directed by...
No.
Go on.
Was it? Was
go
it?
On.
Not Peter Boners.
Yes, it was.
Aye.
But guess what?
What?
I've been away. I've done some research.
Oh, no.
It's Bonners.
Oh.
It's Bonners.
How'd you find that out?
I genuinely looked for interviews with him. Somebody said it. It was Gilbert Gottfried's podcast.
Oh.
Yes, I didn't realise. He'd been an actor before. I knew he'd been in the Bob Newhart show. I didn't realise that was a major role. He played an eccentric orthodontist. He shared an office with Bob Newhart.
Is there any other type of orthodontist?
Well, you know, I don't know because of the NHS cuts.
What the heck is going on? Who is running that dental supply office? I mean, who is running that place?
Wait a minute. I sense that all is not well in Jerryland.
This is no joking matter, Carol. I ordered 500 bibs for my patients. They were supposed to have on them pictures of Tommy Tooth fighting mean old Mr. Toothache. And what do they send me? They send me lobsters.
Lobsters. Oh, Jerry, that's too bad. You must really be steamed. That must have put you in a pinch. I'm sorry.
Certain things are sacred to certain people.
You're absolutely right. Now, it'll never happen again. No more lobster jokes. Just don't be such a crab.
Just straighten this out by tomorrow morning, or you, Carol, are going to be in hot water.
But it was in an improv troupe called The Committee, which featured Rob Reiner.
Good Lord.
And David Ogden Steers and Howard Hessman.
No way.
So it turns out quite a lot of acting and a lot of improv in his background when he got into directing. He's directed several films, including Police Academy 6, City Under Siege.
I think most Police Academy fans will agree that that's the best.
Well, of course, yes. You start at 7 and you work your way down. I think that's how...
I think that's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Until they just get smutty. Smutty.
Yeah, I know. You don't like that, do you?
And he's still alive, 85 years old, as we speak this week. So there you go. Some boners facts. Sadly, no more boners for you.
Oh, well, that is a disappointment. Well, okay, that brings to the end this first segment of ALF episodes with the sad realisation his name is not pronounced boners.
I know. So, you know. I know.
It's an educational journey as well as an entertaining one.
And the writer was Laurie Gelman, who just wrote for loads of stuff from The Love Boat to Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And also one episode of Madeline Kahn's short-lived sitcom, Oh Madeline.
Well, I never did.
There you go. So that's a scene very much set and nailed very much to your eyes in terms of what to expect from the background of the creatives that brought us Keeping the Faith.
Well, before we start, I'll just mention that according to the German DVD, this episode is called Parasit mit Puderquast, which translates as Parasite with Powder Puff.
Very fitting. Which
gets the plot across much better than Keeping the Faith. As we've discovered, all ALF episode titles are based on pop songs. And this one in particular is based on a Billy Joel song. The last US single from the Innocent Man album. From a couple of years previously.
He's just normal, man.
I believe he is.
I believe I'm, of all your friends, the best person to do that impression. So
that was incredible. I could not, but it was like he was in the room. Oh, hang on, he is.
No, yeah, it won't put me past. As we'll work out, the title for this is strained, to say the least.
Yeah.
We'll get to that as we've got a cold open and it almost seems to start like they're waiting for the cue and then Willie starts speaking. He's got a weird pause.
Well, what it boils down to is we've got to take a closer look at our bills.
Hey, what's going on in here?
We're having a family meeting.
Oh, I get it. Freeze out the alien. I guess I'm not part of the family.
Oh, Alf, we thought you were watching The Three Stooges.
I turned it off. Somehow I just can't buy Shemp as a surgeon.
It's like that. The one thing I love about on TV sometimes is when they cut to somebody halfway through a joke and they say the punchline and you're never quite sure what the joke was. And it felt kind of like that. They were already sitting raring to go. And he says something like, we've got to take a closer look at our bills.
Yeah, no, it's like he's replaced the joke with discussion of family finances, obviously.
Exactly.
And they've decided to do it without Alf, but with Brian, which I feel, I don't know what you want to make of that.
One of those members of the family is draining them of their finances regularly with his antics and shenanigans every week, and the other one is Brian.
But also one of them is entertaining.
And the other one is Brian. bearing in mind, they're having these financial troubles while sitting in the kitchen of their, as we've discovered, $2 million house.
Yeah. Yes, which is referenced later on in the episode as a beige house. You can't miss it.
Yes, I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that.
So yeah, Alf walks in and says, "Hey, why am I not been invited to this family chat about a discussion on finances?" And then so they do, and then he goes, "No, I'm not interested." And you think that's it, that's the cold opening, do 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 do, and then it comes back and they're still talking about finances.
Well, yeah, that's it. The cold opening is interesting because basically it's to set up, it's an episode about their terrible finances, but they mention that in the first sentence, then they do a minute of sort of Stooges shtick.
Yes.
Which is it's entertaining. I enjoyed it very much.
Do you know what else is?
What?
The most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week.
Do you think so?
Well, there's some Stooges stuff, but when Brian says, Curly was a senator once.
True, and Moe was Speaker of the House. Can we put an end to the Stooge talk? Certainly! Which I thought was very funny.
Did an impression, yeah, he did do an impression. Was he a senator? I didn't actually look that up. I'm gonna find out now.
I didn't know. I had a glance around. I couldn't find any real reference to this as to or what the episodes were, but I didn't really look very far, to be honest. I'm checking. I did write this down under potential pop culture, impenetrable pop culture reference of the week. Stooges with a question mark after it.
I think Brian's just bullshitting.
I might agree with you there. That is the pop culture reference of the week.
It is up there, certainly, anywhere.
There's not a great number of them this week, so it's slim pickings.
That is very much the sort of reference you'd expect from mid-80s kind of American comedy, I guess, because presumably the Three Stooges were on syndicated television constantly because they'd never pay for them.
I sort of assume so. We don't really know what's in context how the Three Stooges would have been as references. But as we know, Alf doesn't dumb down his references to the audience. He does. He gets quite obscure and highbrow from time to time.
He does. Channel 4 used to show the Stooges, didn't they, in the early days?
Is that right?
Yeah, they did, yeah. And obviously it took off. Not at all, particularly. Enough to know that they were a thing in references.
They definitely existed.
We're talking about Alf being a drain on the family's finances. Mm. What was that German title again?
Parasit mit Puderquast. Parasite with powder puff.
Because the family do indeed think he is a parasit.
And then go through the thesaurus definitions of parasite to great hilarity, I think. I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's Alf who brings up, oh, you think I'm a parasite? And the family all go, yes, we do.
Because he is. And it turns out that he's been leaving the dryer on overnight to keep him company. Yes. So he's not really doing himself any favours with his defence, is what we're saying.
And how does Alf respond to the family's wave of negativity against him?
Well, he says, what if I just put it on delicates?
After that, is the next scene. We cut to the next scene.
When he's playing the piano?
He's playing his sad piano blues.
I just checked into the Parasite Hotel. They ain't got a porter or a bell. I checked into that Parasite Hotel. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I playing too loud?
Now there's an enjoyable moment here because it turns out he's quite a skilled pianist.
Yes,
as a pianist.
Which I thought, maybe that is going to be the episode. It's like turns out Alf can turn his hand to piano. I thought that's the way forward. No.
And Kate comes into the room because this is clearly the middle of the night. He's not just running around the house leaving dryers on overnight. He's playing the piano himself. So instead of saying Alf, shut up, get to bed, we're trying to sleep, she's quite sympathetic to him. And he does a lovely gag. She says, I didn't know you could play the piano. And he says, it's tough to play without the red keys, which is a nice throwaway joke.
Yeah.
But it made me think that is the sort of joke nowadays would get a great deal of explanation about it. They'd do a secondary tier to that gag on a sitcom nowadays, sort of explaining that alien pianos have red keys. Whereas they just let it go on this one. I enjoy that level of... It's not exactly deep intellect, but they assume the audience knows the gag and then carry on without having to explain it.
Absolutely. And he's playing his little Parasite Hotel song during the night because he's sad, because he realizes that he needs to bring in some money to the household. He wants a job because back on Melmac, Alf had an interesting career.
He had a Flem dealership, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, which, as far as I could tell, is a car, but also seems to be powered on phlegm. So it's not entirely clear.
There was a lovely another good joke early on in this episode there. Well, he was saying, on Melmac, I'm not doing the voice. I don't do the voice. I owned and operated my own Flem dealership, and Kate says, well, there must be some other options. And Alf goes, well, there was a sunroof. Which again, I enjoyed.
Excellent gag.
Put the clip in there because it's funnier after I have the clip than me saying the words. Quite frankly.
All right. Imagine you've not heard this, but hearing it again in Alf's voice.
It's nose to the grindstone time for this parasite.
What the? What could you even do?
Well, on Melmac, I owned and operated my own phlegm dealership.
phlegm dealership?
Ever drive one? The phlegm turbo was a classic.
Must be some other options.
Well, there was a sunroof, but it was best to keep it closed.
The beauty of sitcom next, because basically Alf goes, oh, I wish I could make some money, opens a magazine, a thing falls out, looking for a way to make money. Oh, yeah, right then. Picks up the phone immediately. What am I going to do?
The heightened sense of reality in Alf means that kind of works. In another sitcom, you'd have maybe had to do that a bit more realistically, but because it's so absurd, I think it was a lovely, fun, quick way to get to it.
Yeah. And what is Alf's new job?
Nobody's quite sure yet. We know it's selling things.
Yes.
We know it's selling. But he doesn't seem to know what it is either before he accepts the job.
When he is asked, he says he's becoming a Terry Faith girl.
And hence, the title of the episode makes sense.
Yes. It doesn't. It sort of makes sense. But they've had to invent a character called Terry Faith, who is the head of this cosmetics company, who we'll later learn is A, not real, B, dead.
Yes. They had a lot of fun creating the backstory for Terry Faith, I think, in this episode. It sounds like there was a lot of Terry Faith facts at the writer's room throughout.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Whatever they invented for a surname, what would be whatever song they had cleared for the episode title, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Imagine an episode. If an episode of Alf really was called Keeping the Faith, and he became a vicar or a minister or something like that, and started having spiritual revivals in the garage, playing his skilled piano moves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, drawing people in with his beautiful organ.
That would be
not that.
Steady. That would be a great episode to have the title Keeping the Faith for. But yes. as it is, it's a bit. What's the word? Contrived.
It is very contrived. The best thing is Terry Faith was originally from Dayton, Ohio, where her body is preserved in a crystal casket at the Terry Faith Museum near the Terryland Hotel. That's beautiful. That's the writer's board. It's just making up shit, isn't it?
You can hear them having fun. And not only that, it was fun. They were having fun coming up with the cosmetic things, weren't they, throughout the episode?
Oh, yeah.
There was all sorts of crackpot cosmetics from the Terry Firth company, like the earlobe freshener or the sub-reflective chin buffing pursed.
Which you think is an Alfism, you know, at first, because, you know, he does make up weird combinations, but appears to be actual products.
No.
And I suppose it's a and satire of the cosmetics industry.
Mutton-free eye solvent. That was another one. Anyway.
I'm glad.
The box of cosmetics has arrived. Mm. They open the box of cosmetics.
Now, when you say they open the box.
It's Alf, Brian, and the daughter, whose name I've already forgotten.
And Lynn.
Lynn,
but,
that's
but,
it.
But Alf is there, but they go, can we open it? And he goes, not because his hands are incapable of physically opening the box. Sort of rip it open between them.
Now, and this is where it takes a turn.
Have you ever had a Terry Faith facial?
Can't say that I have. You don't know anything about this stuff.
Honey, that's why we have this book. The Wonderful World of Terry Faith Cosmetics. Let's check it out here. Here we go. Terry Faith was born outside of Dayton, Ohio, at a bend in the road near the turn of the century.
What does it say about how to give a facial?
Don't you want to hear about the early years?
I do.
I don't. Let's skip to the facial part.
All right, okay. Here we go. Chapter 1, the facial part. Here, hold this. Let's see here. Come on, Lynn, get down here. Let's give it a shot. It says apply liberally to customers' face and neck. What do you think?
They say facial quite a lot, more than I would have expected them to say, even in an episode about cosmetics.
Yeah. So the first person to get the cosmetic treatment is Lynn, who I can only be describe as the way Alf makes her up with these products is like Morph. Just brown face.
It is.
It's kind of, and he goes, oh, don't go until it's dried.
I better go wash it off before it hardens or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's good. He's there, but he's quite a good salesman. He talks Lynn into it, and later he's talking Kate into it. He's like doing the patter.
This, you know, is the thing. Alf is not your standard sitcom alien, whereby he's confused by the world around him, like Mork, for example. He seems to know a lot more than the humans do about this topic. He's very aware and skilled and knowledgeable, unless he's just talking bollocks.
Yes and no, I'm going to say to that one, but I'll come back to that in what I feel about that. But because there's the part of it is that it now turns into a bit more of a satire about sort of pyramid kind of schemes, almost, like, because he's being upsold by the unseen Ginger.
Yes.
Who are basically, obviously these things where they sell a product and you sell a product and, you know, carrying on that kind of the upselling chain. And obviously Alf, confident in his ability to shift gear.
Yes.
Takes lots of it.
He's not short on confidence, we know that much. There was a nice line, it was earlier, when they opened the package, Alf said something like, they welcome ignorance, which was a nice nod to the fact it's a pyramid scheme, I thought.
Yeah. So it breaks to the rest of the family that Alf's got a job, and naturally, Willie is appalled.
From behind his newspaper in the new part of the house we've seen for the first time, some sort of drawing room or den, as they describe it. We discover he's a civil servant at this point.
Yes, which I wasn't sure if would be the top Willie moment for this, just in general. But I think this whole scene is very much my top Willie segment.
He plays it beautifully. It's classic repressed rage, I suppose.
I've written he has an excellent rant, and then when he finds out women are coming to his house, he just does his mini freak out.
That's it. That was my top Willie moment. When he looks, he peeks around the curtain, he sees there's women outside, and he does all this sort of Oliver Hardy business with his tie. It's like 5 seconds, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Willie!
Don't worry. I'm going to put an end to this right now. Ladies?
Oh, hi. What a beautiful. Hi, Alf.
Hi. No, I'm not Alf.
Oh, then you must be his assistant, Willie. Where's Alf?
Alf is at a...
the director's meeting.
Ooh.
Yes, right. Ladies, if I may have your attention, please, about these products.
Willie, hon, you don't have to sell us. The products sell themselves.
I'll have an espresso.
Ooh, gee, that sounds good. Could you sprinkle a little cinnamon on mine and don't bother to heat the strudel?
Top quality, Willie. No notes.
Exactly. And of course, Willie's rage... Alf just puts down to a kind of a battle of the job worthiness, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, again, so if Willie's a civil servant, we've seen him do computers. We know he does computers.
He's certainly been with Herb. Adjacent to computers, yes.
And adjacent to Herb.
Herb. I remember him. He's my favourite character.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to come back. I feel... They're going to write him in. They've got to. They'll have had the feedback by this point.
Oh, yes.
You know, fucking hell, there's a fire engine going up on the road.
He won't sell many ice creams going at that speed, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Fire. What's how many fire?
Fires. Oh.
What's how many fires?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't do. It's a terrible business model.
Alf could sell fires. Alf has the confidence to sell fires.
But again, this is the thing with this particular episode, because it feels like, you know, Alf is probably going to lose out for the first time because he has made some big mistakes when it comes to this sort of thing. And then these women turn up, all... middle-aged, overweight women of a certain kind of casting call.
Interestingly, all these women were acting with their real names on their name badges.
Yes, I noticed that. I recognised one who turned out to be Mary Jo Catlin.
Yes, she was the most well-known, as far as I'm aware. Certainly a voiceover artist as well.
Yeah, well, she was a regular in Different Strokes, which is probably what I remember from her. And she's in Serial Mom, the fantastic underrated John Waters film from 1994. And she's probably most famous these days for being in SpongeBob.
Yeah.
She's Mrs. Puff.
I did a quick browse through the Internet Movie Database of the rest of the very old ladies. And Bunny Summers played Pudgy Lady in an episode of Manimal. So,
I mean,
that's the cultural reference for the week.
That's the high point. There's no coming back from that.
The reason we should actually cover the fact that the reason all this cosmetics have arrived at the house is because Alf's bought them from this pyramid scheme.
Yes.
The way he's managed to buy them is by using Willie's credit card.
I mean, that's taking his red. Ultimately, these days, and it's like, you know, who's going to suffer?
Alf justifies this by saying that banks don't give a line of credit to people with one name. Except he's got three.
We've established this.
Gordon, inverted commas, Alf Shumway.
Mm. Yeah, it's fair.
Which they haven't specifically said his name yet, have they? We haven't.
No.
But in the pilot episode, when he's on the ham radio at the end, he says his name.
He says Gordon.
He says his name's Gordon, but that is the only time so far in these six episodes he's actually acknowledged his real name, and nobody seems to have asked him what his real name is either.
No, and sort of in this situation, he is independent of the family getting this job, so he could have said, "Yeah, my name's Gordon."
Yeah.
Not Alf.
Yeah.
Because it's his name.
As we've discovered, it's a much more American name as well than Alf.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you could imagine someone called Alf munching down on Arthur Treacher's fish and chips whilst watching Merv Griffin. You know, the standard American dream.
What more does little Chad want from his days than that?
Chad Michael.
Michelson.
That's it.
Chad Michael Michelson. That's the most American name we've managed to come up with between us.
And I would like to imagine that the Michael is in speech marks, you know, like weird Al Yankovic, you know. So, obviously, we're having basically a Tupperware party, but for cosmetics and not the sexy Tupperware parties like we read about. You know, in the 80s in the newspapers. These are just some women turn up. Who, to be fair, do take a shine to Willie, very clearly, who is introduced as Alf's assistant.
Mm-hmm. And they're very keen to spend money as well.
Yes. To the point I felt those poor women are seem to be getting far too much pleasure out of spending too much money on product.
Yes. I mean, the point is, the plot has basically just started and we're near the end of the episode. So basically what we need are these old women to come in and spend a lot of money so that we can just get to the end of the show, basically.
No, efficient, pretty much.
It's efficient plot writing, but not particularly clever.
No, you know, they're spending to the point where Willie says, "Do we have change for 100? And it's like, oh, you know, and there's, oh no, we'll just add more product. And I don't know if the joke is because they're all middle-aged, not especially attractive, overweight women. They need these beauty products. Or if it's just like, that's the kind of audience you'd expect for those...
I got to say, I'm no expert, but that was my thinking as well.
Did your mother ever have any, like, those sort of parties? Like, more Tupperware or, you know, out at catalogue parties?
I'm sure that rings a bell. It definitely rings a bell of having a Tupperware do around the house. But it was when I was young enough, so young that, you know, you'd go to bed before it even started. So I've no memory of it. It's a really vague cloud of a memory around my head. I can't. Yes, it happened, but I've no knowledge of it.
Because I'll be honest with you, I'd welcome one now. I'd love a bit of Tupperware. I'd like to stock up actually on that.
Yeah. Everybody likes a sealable box.
You know what? I just think being able to keep the freshness in is something which is underrated by our age range.
You don't think of it when you're a kid, do you? You don't think of it when you're a kid, and then you get to this age, you think, oh, I'd like to keep stuff fresh. And
Like Terry Faith in her crystal casket.
Yeah.
Preserved. So, yes, Alf gets the money back and a little bit more. Beside
a non-specific profit,
yes. They don't say like, and now I have stopped doing this, because obviously that's how it works. You make some money and then they go, right, we won't force products on you anymore.
And they made so much, well, they made enough money to qualify for one of the free gifts, which was a set of mock Naugahyde luggage, to which Willie says, it looks just like real Naugahyde, which is a good joke.
It's a good, is it almost Hot Willie?
It's a good joke. And it was so good, I wrote it down. So, you know, good for them.
So all we've got left is our MVP of the episode, which is, of course, Melmac, valuable person. We've still not worked out what the MVP for, but it don't matter.
No.
And, you know, for once, I think it might be Alf for me. And I'll tell you for why. Yes. This is what I was alluding to earlier. I think Alf's a dick. We've established Alf's a dick, and he makes a lot of mistakes and a lot of selfish decisions.
Yes.
But his trustingness, his signing up and not expecting everything because he's got this bluster, it kind of undercuts the dickery a little bit, I think. He's like, he's a little bit naive in that, like, he's very confident he can sell it, but he's a bit naive in the fact that what it will entail, the whole sort of process.
Yeah, that is interesting. You make a good point there, isn't it? Yes, his childlike wonder is not dented by the fact he's horrible most of the time.
So I think for once Alf is my MVP. Did you?
Do you know what? I'd agree with that. I didn't think anybody else really reached any interesting heights. Maybe the SpongeBob lady who came in did a bit of nice ad-libbing whilst they were all scuttling around the city room. But there was nothing. There was nothing that really, no characterisation really beat Alf. I think you're right.
You know where it was missing, don't you?
What's that?
An Ochmanek. I'm just.
We haven't seen them for a couple of episodes, have we?
No, we haven't. And you think she'd be banging the, Raquel would be right in the target for these products. So whether they just didn't think about it or what, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So ultimately, was it a good episode? Did you enjoy the episode?
It was fine. There was quite a lot of plot and it didn't all make sense. All house-based. Although we did see a new part of the house in the den, but the writers coming up with the Terry Faith backstory and the sort of cosmetic things was a lot of fun, and that was the interesting and enjoyable part of this episode for me. But I don't really know. It seemed a fairly straightforward sitcom episode.
It seems like it needed an SNL sketch to kind of set up the premise of the Terry Faith Hutt stuff. You know,
that would have been nice.
It's based on something, because I thought, oh, I'm assuming this isn't a reality, you know, a real thing.
Yeah.
But they've named the episode after it. And no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, what would it be? Mary Kay, I think they call that kind of American cosmetic stuff. I mean, over here, it's, what do you call it?
Avon.
That's it. That's him, off Blake 7.
Yeah, Mary Kay. Mary Kay, Terry Faith are not a million miles away, so you can imagine they had Mary Kay in the script originally. And
What do you think the title was called at that point? K took my baby away. No, maybe not that one.
What was it? What was it? Who did OK Fred in 1979?
Oh, Errol Dunkley, yeah. No, there that's you go. Fair enough.
That
yeah.
would have been the episode title. OK Alf.
Now I'm a Yaga Yaga. Which we've all been at one time or another. So that remains. That's it. That's the end of the episode.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts are, I'm curious about Ginger. Ginger on the other side of the phone.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, it was all one-sided.
Oh, Ginge, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, those hunting sachets are going to be very hot.
But then again, show the acting chops of Alf.
It does. You don't want to draw focus from Alf.
And if you're interested in Alf's chops, then please do listen next week for another fantastic episode of Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
Find us on the internet if you like.
We've got a Twitter account, Alfsplaining.
Is it at?
At Alfsplaining. Twitter, formerly known as X. We might even have a TikTok by now where you'll see us getting up to all sorts of Alf-related shenanigans.
No, I refuse.
All right, I'll do
43 years of age.
I'll do the Alf antics, the Alf ticks then.
You can Alf do Alf ticks, I'll just do the ticks. Big ticks. Ticks of days. Do you think Alf's got tics?
We'll get to this in the next episode.
Fair enough, fair enough. Sorry, I got too excited about the idea. Alf scratching himself desperately. Didn't happen a lot. Didn't happen a lot. Probably for the best.
And that's only the beginning, folks. Because next week, we'll be packing those bags and leaving for beautiful Dayton, where we'll be spending 3 days and 2 nights at the beautiful Terryland Hotel. You'll be dancing and dining in the beautiful Eyeshadow Lounge and visiting the Terry Faith Museum, where Terry herself is on display, gorgeously preserved in the revolving crystal casket. To preserve the dignity of this monument, there will be no flash photography.
That'll do. The watchwords of Alf's planning. That'll do.